So off goes Alex. How long was he in a coma?
He was in a coma for 2 months.
Two straight months.
Yes. They didn't think that he would live. We actually, that first meeting, you know, you look at the x-ray and have the talk with the doctor.
The horrible talk with the doctor.
Yeah, it was not pleasant. I mean, the guy was just telling what medically should occur, and none of it was good. And but one of the things I remember is my wife telling him he was wrong, and that Alex would live, and he would be fine.
He was on a respirator, I take it, right away, right?
Yes, yes. He had some intervention there at the emergency room before he was brought up to ICU.
Did you think for a moment you're going to pull the plug?
I was asked to pull the plug at some point in the coma. No, believe it or not, it never entered my mind. It was funny, on the way to, I had about a little over an hour drive, and the person that gave me the ride had driven by the accident site, and I pulled out of him that he thought, you know, there's no way Alex is alive. And so I was kind of preparing myself for him to not be alive when I got there. But once I got there and he was alive, it never occurred to me that he could die.
When he pulled out of the coma, were you there? How did you get the call?
Yeah, there was times, it was weird. There were times when he would kind of smile and do things. But the time that he came out and never really was cloudy again, it was really funny. Funny is an interesting word to use, but it was. We would do various things to try to make him laugh. And I mean, you know, what do you do?
In the coma state.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one day we were on there doing all this stuff, and his brother, Aaron, who was 4 at the time, started slapping himself in the face really hard, and Alex smiled.
Eyes are closed, right?
His eyes kind of popped open a little bit.
Huh.
And so Aaron, thinking I'm onto something, started smacking himself even harder, and Alex just woke up. We thought we were going to have to admit the other one to the hospital. He's hitting himself so hard. You know, the more Alex smiled, the more he whacked his face. And finally, somebody just grabbed Aaron and go, okay, you can stop now. And that's the moment we really remember Alex kind of coming back and staying with us.
My God. You must have. Oh, my. How do you describe it?
It was wonderful. Because, you know, it was 2 months of looking at his body laying there and just not knowing if he would ever, you know, would you ever be able to look into his eyes, ever be able to talk to him or anything. So that was a pretty neat day.
At what point, Kevin, did he start communicating with you about these heavenly things?
Well, the first one that I remember, he was unable to talk for a while, and he had signs that he did with his mouth that he learned with an occupational therapist, and he moved his mouth one way for a yes and in another way kind of, I believe it was he puckered his mouth for no, and then he'd kind of roll his eyes, and that was kind of his catch-all phrase. And we had an experience one evening. I was there with a friend of ours named Margaret, and Alex normally looked right at me at all times when I was in the room after he woke up. Then we would talk, and then he would just say yes or no. Well, he wasn't paying any attention to me. And Margaret noticed, and I noticed, and we're like, I wonder what's wrong with him. So we started asking questions, are you okay? And he did his sign for yes, and does something hurt? And we asked him so many questions, and I mean, it wasn't probably in the first 100 questions I asked, but I just asked him one time, is there an angel in here? And his face lit up, and he gave me the yes signal.
Huh.
I don't know why after all those questions I asked him. I think I was just running out of questions.
Right, yeah.
And so then I said, one angel? No. Two? No. Three? No. 10? No. Is the room full? And again, lit up. Yes. And I'm like, looking at Margaret, kind of, I was real glad another human being was there.
but do you believe him at this point? You don't, do you?
Not really.
No.
I mean, you want to.
But you figure, all right, you know, he's just come out of a coma.
Yeah.
He's, you know, this is his therapy. If it works for him, so be it.
Yeah. If it is imaginary best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or is he hallucinating?
Is he hallucinating? That's
these
true.
Are the kinds of things, yeah, I think that I'm initially thinking because
but even as a a religious person, you are, you don't stop and think at that moment. Nobody does.
Yes.
This is real.
Yeah, it's so funny too, George, because one of the things I talk about a lot is do you believe what you believe, or do you just talk about what you believe? And one of the things that I was confronted with was I was caught off guard by the very presence of the things I professed to believe.
Yeah.
And so you got to go to another level to say, do I believe this? And it's funny because really everything in me believed him. There was nothing inauthentic about it. But I think it's just your own personal struggle to try to come to grips with what does it mean if that's true.
Did Alex ever eventually say anything about family members, dearly departed ones, anything like that?
In terms of being in heaven?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, his experience in heaven, when he went, it was, he said that he, in the middle of the accident, went to heaven and began to look down on things at that point. If I could just back up a second.
Sure.
He recalled the entire car accident. He told what happened. He said, I saw the car. He actually apologized, told me the accident was his fault, which broke my heart as well.
His fault? Why? Did he,
yes.
Did he get you to turn around or something?
He said, Daddy, I asked you a question, and you turned slightly to answer me, which I have no recollection of. But he said that, and he said, I saw the car. I should have told you the accident was my fault. Well, then he gave me a little more detail. He said, Daddy, it felt like a knife went down my neck. And he describes in the first chapter of our book, he describes it in pretty great detail what he experienced. But then he said, angels took you out of the car, five angels, one named John held your head, and the other four put you on the side of the road. And that made me feel a little better. But then the devil showed up in the front seat, pointed at me, and told me the accident was my fault.
The devil shows up?
Yes.
Man, he doesn't miss an opportunity, does he, Kevin?
Well, the thing that I find really kind of fantastic or amazing there is you think of even the devil would take a moment to let one go by.
You would think.
You know, if ever there was a time where he said, you know, this one's under control, I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah, I'll come back later.
Yeah, I give the message in churches a lot. And one of the times things I do right there is I pause and I say, you know, I believe in angels. I believe in demons. I believe in spiritual warfare. And you need to know that your opponent, the devil, would take a kid whose head wasn't attached, who felt a knife go down his back, who just experienced literally hell on earth, and just feel the need to say, oh, by the way, it's time for me to lay some guilt on you as well.
Yeah, he's relentless.
That's the guy we're doing battle with. And I think that I want people to know that.
Well, it's something we all need to know about.
Yes. So he told me that, and that was there was kind of something there that was also kind of amazing and humorous. I said, well, what did the angels look like that carried me out of the car? And he said, Daddy, they looked like professional wrestlers with wings.
Well, they had to. You were too big.
Exactly. They had to bring in the jumbo angels.
Yeah, exactly.
But all kidding aside, it was funny because I said, you know, Alex, I have a question for you. I'm going to put my dad hat back on. When did you see professional wrestling exactly?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I snuck some in. I was like, okay, we'll talk about that later. but he said, yeah, they set you on the side of the road. And he said, then I went through this white tunnel, and there was light. And then he said, what are those instruments called with the long strings? And I said, harp. He goes, oh, they played that. It was awful. I think only a kid describes the music coming from heaven as awful.
As awful, right.
Yeah, he said it was terrible.